Man, I'd like to introduce Pastor Charlie Rattle from visiting from Perryville. He's going to be speaking to us. He represents the Gideons there, and we just pray for his message as he brings it to us today. Charlie.
Good morning. Good morning. Keep your song in your mind. We hunger for. Our hearts hunger for. It might make sense in a few minutes. It was a Sunday morning in 1999 that I was standing in this very place. I had just joined this ministry called the Gideon's Ministry, and they said, Charlie, why don't you go speak and tell them about the Gideon Ministry? And I was pretty nervous, as I am right now. But I met with John Goldstone. He prayed with me and for me, and I'll never forget the encouragement he gave me. So that was a great way to be introduced to this congregation. Now, I am Charlie Rattle from Perryville Bible Church. I know there's confusion. Hey, wait a minute, he's not the pastor there. We have a new pastor. He's been there a year. So our previous pastor, Jim Menzie, was there for 30 years. So I don't know how long you have to be at a church before you're no longer the new pastor. But when he came in, he changed the name from elders to pastors, which in scripture is synonymous. So that hopefully will clear up the any confusion. Now, I'm retired from the government, Department of Defense. And one thing we had in the government was whenever you're going to brief or tell somebody something, particularly a high-ranking person, it was for the Navy, an admiral is the highest person, you always start out with the bluff. And the bluff is the bottom line up front. So I'm going to start out with the bluff. I'm going to tell you the bottom line, and then I will hopefully touch your hearts from mine. I was really encouraged when Pastor Caleb communicated to me and said, Charlie, just come, allow the Holy Spirit to speak through your hearts to us. And that was very medicinal and relaxing. So I'm going to give you an overview of the Gideon Ministry, what we're doing globally, what we're doing in the U.S., what we're doing in Rhode Island. And it's really a ministry of the heart. And so I would like to also do a quick analysis of what Scripture has to say about the heart. What is the condition of your heart this morning? How we can team together? And before I leave, I'm going to leave you with great power. And if you don't feel that, when I'm done, don't let me leave this door. That's my plan, anyway. It's sort of a teach a man to fish rather than give him a fish. So before I leave today, I want you to feel that power. Now, leadership here at First Baptist Narragansett, I really don't know Caleb well. I don't know Peter well. I don't know Joe well. And I don't know Mark well. But there's leadership in here that I know very well. Fellow members in the Gideon Ministry. And that is Dick Nooney, John Carey, Jamil Umbrad, and Lee Vick. We get together every Saturday morning. We meet at Camden's. We have scripture reading, we have prayer requests, we pray together, we have breakfast together, and we have fellowship. And we have been doing that for years, many years. If you want to get to know someone well, listen to their prayer requests and their prayers, because that will expose the heart. So I feel that I know leadership in this church very well. And I feel at home, because I know that I have seen many of you, I have broken bread with you, I've laughed with you, so I just feel very comfortable. Now, I know if I were to ask you to recite your church vision, I know everybody here would be in unison with it. Maybe we'll pen out a piece of paper, you can write it down. Your vision is to see South County come alive for Christ and to fulfill the Great Commission globally. At Perryville, our vision is to make more and better disciples. Ours is a little easier to remember, plus we have a big sign in the back that says that. The single mission and vision of the Gideon ministry is to win lost souls for Jesus Christ. So we all have the same vision. And that's really important because of Proverbs 29:18, where scripture tells us, where there is no vision, the people perish. So we have the same vision. So with the same vision, we're partners. And we're partners in winning lost souls for Jesus Christ. And I believe that that ministry is a function of your heart. Hence, we're going to come back to the heart. And perhaps there's a heart tune-up that might be needed, maybe even a heart transplant. We'll see. But this partnership is between the Gideon Ministry, First Baptist Narragansett, the Holy Spirit, and you. And I'd like to tell you how this partnership is going with the Gideons on who we are, what we're doing globally, what we're doing in this state, and perhaps what we're doing in this town. The Gideon Ministry is comprised of Christian professionals and businessmen, and their wives serving the auxiliary. And our single vision is winning lost souls, and we do that through two ways: distributing God's word and witnessing. Now, I'm sure you've all seen Bibles in hotels. Something like this: if you go to a hotel and you look in the nightstand and you don't see a Bible, tell the front desk, gee, there's no Bible here. Well, if you open it up, it starts out with help in times of need. Okay, so I have a Bible, but I don't know my Bible. But here, if you are depressed, anxious, angry, this will tell you where to look in Scripture to find what God has to say to you. There's a number of suggested readings, some great things up front, what the Bible says about certain items. And then, in the front of it, it has John 3:16 in 27 different languages. Now, those 27 different languages cover 3/4 of the Earth's population. So this is more than simple scripture. This is an introduction for someone that truly does not know where to start. Now, the Gideon Ministry distributes Bibles in hospitals, nursing homes, doctor's offices, police and fire departments, prisons, armed forces, induction centers, colleges, and schools, among other places such as crisis pregnancy centers, abused women's shelters, items like that. And most of the Bibles that we present are euphemistically called a personal worker's testament. These are designed to go right in your pocket, which is great. You can have it with you all the time. I'm sure you've seen them, and you probably have some around here. I know 4 men that had better have them with them this morning, or can make them available to any part of this red team that we have this morning. I feel like I should have worn a red shirt. I thought I was coming into the Olympics or something. But these are significant, and they're powerful. In the beginning, same type of item. There's a lot of helps for what you are looking for, what you are going through. Okay, you give somebody a Bible. The Gideons always pass out Bibles one at a time at no cost to the recipient. So I can open it up and find out what I need, where I have to go, what page it's on, to see what message God has to share with me. And then it has the New Testament, Psalms and Proverbs, And then the inside back cover presents the plan of salvation. So it's very powerful when you give someone a gift. Here's a free gift. So what do I do with it? Well, we explain that, and let's look at the back cover. Because I have to confess, until I joined the Gideon ministry, I can't put my finger on anyone I ever led to the Lord. And I was born again, but I never shared the gospel. So this is the greatest tool that people say, well, I don't know how to share the gospel. Well, here it is. And I've been teaching our teens for 30 years, convincing them how simple it is. It's easy as ABC. You admit you're a sinner, you believe in Jesus Christ, and you confess your sins. So don't ever tell me that it's too complicated for you to convey. And don't tell me you don't have opportunities, because we have plenty of opportunities. What we need is the boldness and the wisdom to get from studying Scripture to be able to bring people to the Lord to execute this church's vision. And this church's vision, as the Gideon and Perryville's vision, is our vision. We need to bring people to the Lord. The Gideons have the greatest gift. It's actually the greatest job. I mean, I'm retired, along with babysitting my grandchildren. This is awesome because it's the greatest gift in the world. We give it out for free, and all you have to do is accept it. I mean, what could be better than that? So we go to all these places to make it available. Now, the organization of Gideon's International is pretty interesting, and I'm going to share it because what I want you to do is to become part of that organization and exploit that organization in the execution of your vision here at Perryville and towards winning lost souls in Jesus Christ. So if we start in this area, okay, we've got four Gideons in this church. I'm here five. We have camps. Okay, a camp is a local group of Gideons in a geographic area, and we try to help the local churches, the Christian evangelical churches. So in Rhode Island, there's the South County camp, our camp, there's the Providence camp, and there is the Newport camp. Okay, so that's Rhode Island. So now we have a southern New England area, which is Connecticut, Massachusetts, and Rhode Island, those three states together. And then we have zones, which is up through Maine. We have nine zones in the United States. Those nine zones make up a country. Now carry that concept globally. So what I can do, color green, okay, the contents are the same, but the color is green. Green indicates colleges. So when we go to a college, we give out green testaments. We have Spanish testaments. We have health workers' testaments. We have police and fire testaments, each with a different color, which isn't bureaucracy. What it is brilliance. Because we, the Gideon Ministry, can review where Bibles are getting distributed globally, but also in the United States and in the state of Rhode Island. So gee, they're ordering scriptures to be distributed. How come Rhode Island is not distributing nursing home testaments? Why aren't we given enough? How many nursing homes are there? How many people are in nursing homes? How are we reaching those people? So the color coding is brilliant so that we can be more effective and efficient in our vision and our mission of winning lost souls by distributing God's word and witnessing. So it may sound confusing, but to Gideon's, it's significant. And when you take it up to the next level, then it can really be effective. And oh, by the way, all of that overhead and data crunching and everything, the only people who pay for that are the Gideons themselves. So there's no financial burden on the ministry because Gideon members pay dues. And so our dues foster the ability to make a better, more productive ministry. One thing I don't see here, you know, if we look globally, okay, we're in 200 countries, we're 100 years old, 1999, 100 languages. And before the pandemic, we were distributing, the global Gideon, 94 million Bibles a year. That's a pretty incredible number. And it comes out to 1 million Bibles every 4.5 days. So if you don't think it's important for me to be here, there is an illustration. 1 million Bibles every 4.5 days. So every year we go locally, we go up to Boston, and we call the Boston Blitz. So I've been there with everyone who's here in the Gideons, and you go in front of the great institutions of learning, Harvard, MIT, all of these places. And did you know that 20% of the world leaders are educated in Boston? So, people like, Jamil and I have stood on corners giving out Bibles. Same thing with John and Lee. Dick and Gail coordinated the nursing home distributions up there. And we'll give out 20,000 Bibles in a couple days to infiltrate the Boston area, because it is truly, truly needed. In South County, we try to visit every hotel and bed and breakfast in our area in South County. But the fields are ripe for harvest, but there's few workers. So that's our goal. We try to do that. We go to schools. Now, if you want to see a challenge about free speech, try to give a Bible out in a school. It really is amazing. So we attempt it, we try it. We are legally allowed, if you will, to hand out Bibles if we're on public property, not school property. Look at schools around here. Most of them, the buses go on the school property. But what's intriguing is that the Gideons globally, in other countries, Dick has the example of going to the Philippines, to give out hundreds of thousands of Bibles. Other countries will welcome us into their schools. We can go classroom to classroom. In some cases, we give present the plan of salvation. Some of the the poorer nations, they'll use scripture as their textbook. Totally awesome. Some of our scriptures are bilingual in that Chinese. It's Chinese and English. So that we've had situations where there's exchange students out of URI and they're challenged with the language. So this is a beautiful opportunity. I'm going to help you learn English. So let's look at the book of John and improve your English. Again, that is a brilliant item and element. So every October, we go, except for this past year, this was a unique year, we go to the University of Rhode Island and we give out our Green Testaments to the students. And it's simply a group of men, usually 8 to 10 men, the men in this room, simply, here's a free gift. And it is an amazing time. And fortunately, through John Kerry's personal connection with the university, we're welcome there and we can do that. But I'll tell you, try to find a school where you can hand out Bibles. We have another tool I would like to give you that you might be aware of or you might not, and that is the Gideon Card Program. You have a rack in the back. Cards are free. help yourself. And there's a number of different items. There's think of you, in memorial, from, you know, funeral. And there's a pastor's card. If you want to really edify your pastor and encourage him, donate Bibles in his name. They'll be used to meet our vision of Bible distribution. Therefore, no one receiving a Bible has to pay for it. It comes from our card program, our individual dues, and free will offerings. So the card program is a significant opportunity. Some of you might know Lloyd Whitford. He was in our congregation. He started the local Gideon camp. When he turned 95, our local camp said, let's give him 95 Bibles. And the number was higher than that, just in recognition. Someone sitting here this morning donated Bibles for something that I had done. And that was awesome. I just thought that was, what a great way. So if you have people, you don't know what to get them, why get them something stupid? You know, you have it back there, and I would just encourage you to use it. So that's a tool that you have this morning. You might already know it, you might already be using it. One thing I don't see in this congregation, and I'm looking close, maybe they already left, or maybe you're having a teen group someplace else. But as we distribute God's word, we're finding out that that age group, 17 to 21, 17 to 25, and I see it everywhere I speak, they're non-existent. There's a lot of reasons for it, but we don't have the next generation. We have younger and we have older. So through the brilliance of men who fear the Lord, they came up with a program called the Life Book. Now I'm going to leave some of these here for you to take a look at. And in the future, Pastor Caleb, can order as many as he wants at no cost. Now this is brilliant. It's a little book, and it says, hey, what's life all about? And it's designed for our teens, and it's designed for our teens to give to other teens. Because, hey, they may not trust an old guy in a jacket giving them a Bible. What am I going to do with that? But here, a teen. And this, again, is brilliant. I would encourage everyone to read it. This book is divided into four parts. The first part talks about the Old Testament. It's very simple. It's an easy read. It talks about the Old Testament before Jesus, how it was great and there was the fall. The second part of it is the book of John, and talks about Jesus and his miracles and amazing existence. The third part is about your ability. What does that mean to you? And I'll tell you why they put the first part, the Old Testament, in there. Because we were seeing teens and saying, you know, you can be saved. And their answer was, saved from what? If you don't understand the fall of man in the Old Testament, they don't know that they need to be saved. And then the fourth section is just about challenges in teen life. Okay, what does the Bible say about fill in the blank? There's a number of topics and subjects. And the way they did it, along with that, they have four teens who write in it. It's different handwriting. So one teen is a 15-year-old girl that loves the Lord. One teen is a 17-year-old boy who has nothing to do with Jesus. So there's four different viewpoints. They comment on what's in here throughout it. And then there's Uncle G. Uncle G is the wise guy at the end who comments on their comments. So that what that really does is when we read it, it illustrates to you what the teen's objections are for these particular items. Well, why don't you know or like Jesus Christ? Well, here's the reason why. And so it gives you the wisdom and ammunition in education to combat those items that you should be coming across as you are winning lost souls for Jesus Christ. So this is another tool. You can have as many as you want simply for the taking as a result or teaming with the Gideon ministry. There's actually, for the Lifebook, there, as of today, whenever the website was updated, we have given out, now this is the one book that the Gideons do not give out. We encourage youth groups and teams of a congregation to give out. We had one youth group that used to take a bunch up to the mall every Thursday night, and they'd give them out to other teens. And one of the young men came up to me and he goes, "Mr. Radham, this is a great way to meet chicks." So whatever it takes, but there was 43 million of these have been given out by 3.2 million student missionaries. So anyone here can go on to thelifebook.com. You can download it electronically. Your church, through your pastor, can order boxes of them. So there's a tool you have that all you have to do is use. So as I said before, I believe that ministry is all from your heart. And if we want to find out about our heart, how many times do you think heart is mentioned in Scripture? A lot. I like to do word searches. Just one of way of studying Scripture. So you go to BibleGateway.com and you punch in heart. How many times does it appear? And it lists all the Scriptures that uses that word. It's not theologically sound, but it's a good addition to the way that you study Scripture. For me, it is, anyway. So if you put heart in there, with an NIV, you come up with 743 times that heart is mentioned. So if I want to learn about heart, what does God have to say about heart? So in my family, if someone's going to get married, I'll do marriage and give them all the verses with marriage. Now, for me, that's the only way God ever spoke to me. So if I read every verse that God said about a particular subject, I feel illuminated because I have not made those connections of the past. For example, Scripture tells us about Absalom's heart, Pharaoh's heart, David's heart, Asa's heart, Cyrus's heart, Ahaz's heart, the widow's heart, and I'm sure you can all think of other examples. When you start looking at analyzing your own heart, and what is the condition of your heart, because that's going to drive your ability to minister and your relationship with Jesus Christ. It also gives us descriptions of a hardened heart, a burning heart, loving, filled, glad, willing, uncircumcised, strong, grudging, despairing, melted, rejoicing, grieving, fearful, discerning, pierced, evil, changed, prideful, saddened, faithful, yearning, faint, singing, upright, pounding, endowed, truthful, glad, probing, perverse, callous, wax, pure, troubled, steadfast, stubborn, free, gracious, trembling, guarded, and many, many more. So you can look at it and say, where's my heart in that list? And I know a little bit about the heart. This past year, September 20th of this past year, a date I'll always remember, I was given the closing prayer at Perryville Bible Church, and as I was giving it, I knew what I wanted to say, but I got confused. And I found out later on that as that was occurring, a lady in our congregation whispered to her husband, "Charlie's having a stroke." Well, that sort of started a lot of things, as you can imagine. After an ambulance ride to South County, Hospital, a LifeStar helicopter ride to Hartford Hospital. Turns out my niece is a physician's assistant at the ICU where I was brought. I was put on a respirator, and they communicated to my family that Charlie might not make it. But you better be prepared for paralysis and rehab. So people started praying. The Gideons, through that network that I described, starting with a camp, going to an area, going to a zone, going to a country, through my church. I have the honor of overseeing our church email prayer chain. Through that, through other connections and networks. Well, 3 days later, I walked out of the hospital with no ill effects. That, to me, is the reason I'm standing here this morning, and I love the Gideon ministry. The power of prayer, let's not inhibit the power of the Holy Spirit. The head of ICU came down to talk to me when I was leaving. He said, I've never seen a recovery like yours. What an opportunity to say, here, I'll tell you why. That is one reason we need to know the condition of our heart. I mean, for me, that was very powerful. So there's the opportunity for you to assess what is the condition of your heart. And what's the condition and relationship and connection between your heart and your brain? I think it's fascinating that God tells us 743 elements about the heart, but zero about the brain. We're not pronounced dead until our heart stops beating, yet our brain could be brain dead. God wants our heart. The beats, the rhythms, the relationships. And I have so much to say about how it pumps blood of Jesus Christ. If we had all day, I would love to do that. But what is the condition of your heart? Does it need a tune-up? Does it need a transplant? I've told you so many ways that you can assess that. So now it's like the Gideon handing out a scripture. Here, I can give it to you. You never have to die. You could have eternity with the King. All you have to do is accept it. How simple is that? So the bottom line in assessing your condition, the condition of your heart, is found in Hebrews 4:12, which says, for the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. For the word of God is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. And we learn in Samuel 16:7 that the Lord does not look at the things man looks at. Man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. For this week, when you leave here, pay attention to the hearts that you see, okay? And what comes to your mind when I say the word heart? You know, it's a fascinating element to ask people about. A lot see the Valentine red heart. Some others see a heart, the pumping organ. I have props in case I get in trouble up here. If you see me reach for the balloon animals I use for my grandchildren, then you know I feel like I'm in trouble. But we have so much about the heart, but so little about the brain. So it's all about the condition of your heart. God wants our heart. You might be wondering, hey, how can I help? Prayer is is the number one answer. How can the Gideons give away 94 million scriptures? How does that free of charge? Where does the money come from? Well, I already described it. It comes from using the Gideon Card Program, which is really a win-win situation. You get off the hook for a gift. They get edified by receiving the gift. My mother's 93 years old. What does a 93-year-old woman need? But she loves the Lord, and she's so edified by receiving Bibles in her name. Same thing with the death of someone. Do we want to give them flowers? Okay, why not dedicate, donate Bibles in their name? Now, I mentioned to you, I'm going to give you great power. And I also mentioned to you that the Gideons distribute Bibles free of charge, one at a time, to hospitals, doctor's office, police and fire departments, prisons, armed services, induction centers, colleges, and schools. We are limited in our manpower. Gideons are busy because typically they're active in their church. There's a lot going on. So if you have access to, let's say, a nursing home, hospital, school, you know, a lot of times when you visit nursing homes, you get to know the activities director. If you're aware of one of the elements of distribution for the Gideon's ministry, and they would be receptive to receiving Word of God, we have the manpower and the ability to bring those forward. So please, with that power, now that you have it available, you have the obligation to use it. So if you know of a situation, talk to one of the Gideons here, call me. And I'm going to tell you about this great power. November 2010, I was giving a Gideon talk at Calvary Bible Church. And I told them, hey, I'm going to leave you with great power. If you need Bibles, that's what the Gideon ministry is. Let me know. So I left. Well, it turns out later that week, I'll just use first names, but she gave me the permission to share her testimony and the family testimony. The lady attending there, Thelma, contacted John Kerry and said, my brother is in a hospital in Florida. He's near the end of life. He doesn't know the Lord. I have not been able to get through to him. Is there any way that you can get a Bible to him? Because of that organization I described before, John calls up International and says, hey, Charlotte, Florida, where is the local Gideon camp? He got that information. He called them, described the situation. It turned out when he talked to Mr. Green, they were in the middle of a Gideon meeting. This man took scripture, went to the Bible, I went to the hospital bringing the Bible while everyone else in the camp prayed for him. He delivered the Bible there, wasn't real sure what happened, but the next day he went back to follow up on it. And Francis that day accepted Christ as a Savior. Now, he then called his sister, Thelma, and said, you finally got through to me. I accepted Christ as my Savior. The day after that, he passed. So if you don't think that power is powerful, that is what touched my heart. It's taken it out, it's massaged it, it's put it back in. So use that power. A few years ago, I was back here. And I shared another testimony. And that was a friend of mine and my boss at Naval Undersea Warfare Center by the name of Tony Ruggiero. Some people might know him. I went in one morning, a Monday morning, and his light was on in his office, and he's a late arriver. His light was on, and I went in, and I'll never forget the look on his face. I said, Tony, what are you doing here this hour? And he said, my son this past weekend was killed by a drunk driver. And he was going down to clean out his son's dorm room. While cleaning it out, he came across a Gideon Bible that his son had signed, accepting Christ. I ran into him 3 years later, and he carried that with him in his briefcase. Now, a real iniquity is that when I shared that testimony here, I was leaving. Two people came up to me and said, "That was amazing. Tony's brother is in church today, and he hasn't been in church in years." He didn't know the story. So that, for me, was powerful. When I started putting this message together, I wanted to end with a verse. And I was reading about the heart, and I came up with the verse. I didn't come up with it. I discovered the verse from Psalm 37:4. And it reads, "Take delight in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart." Now, I know all of you have daily devotions. I prefer mine in the morning. It sort of sets the day straight. So I have traditional items. I use the daily bread. I use CBN, the Christian Broadcasting Network. I use Superbooks. And so I receive scriptures every day at random. So I had already chosen that and wrote it down on my notes for this talk. Well, you can go home and look up Christian Broadcasting Network, the verse of the day for July 25th, and it's Psalm 37:4. "Take delight in the Lord, and he will give you your heart's desire." So with all of that, I want you to ponder the condition of your heart, the Gideon ministry, how you can utilize the tools that we discussed to further the mission. I don't want to hear it's too hard to share the gospel. We're commanded. It's your mission. It's our mission. It's our church's mission. It's everyone's. That is our reason for being and our purpose. It was 2005. Hurricane Katrina devastated Bay St. Louis, Mississippi. That's where I live. That's where I was saved. And so a group of us from Perryville went down there, and we had the opportunity of several trips to go down there, and we rebuilt five houses that were the daughters of the man who brought me to the Lord. I had not been back in 20 years, but we kept in touch with them. So I remember standing Jim, after we finished his daughter's fifth house, saying, "You know, I can never repay you for what you did for me, but here's a down payment." We're walking around, the place is in a disaster. Bay St. Louis, garbage everywhere. And I was walking down the street, some of you might know Dan Mills, and we're walking down the street, and this big pile of garbage. And Dan looks up and he goes, "Hey, what's that?" "I don't know." He climbs up the pile of garbage and he pulls out a Gideon Testament. It was signed. I tried to contact the person who had signed it, who had since passed away. But you know, there is the great example. I want to quote this properly. Of Isaiah 55:11, which is the foundational verse for the Gideon ministry. It should be your top 10, maybe, top 20, depending upon how many you have. But Isaiah 55:11. "So it is my word that goes out from my mouth. It will not return to me empty, but will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I sent it." So that's the story of the Gideon ministry. The story of your heart is now up to you. I have so much on my heart that I wish I could share more effectively and efficiently, but public speaking is not my forte, but my heart is full, and I thank you for your attention, for being here, for Pastor Caleb, the leadership here inviting me, and if there's anything that the Gideon Ministry can do to support you, we all have, maybe we don't all have, I'm going to make the assumption most of us have family members that aren't walking with the Lord. I do. And if you need someone to explain the plan of salvation, you have at least 4 men here, and I look at the leadership here, and I don't know the hearts of the mature men here, but I would expect all of them to be ready, willing, and able to share and do that, because that is our reason for being here. So I'd like to just close in prayer, if I may, and perhaps we will follow up another time, because I would love to share with you more of what's in my heart. And if you want to read to me one of the most humorous stories in Scripture, read Judges 6 and 7 about Gideon. Gideon's questioning God. God proves it, and he says, well, God, you know, I hear you, I see it, but can you show me one more time? I just think that is just great. It's very encouraging for me and to me. So let's just go to the Lord in prayer. Father, I thank you for this time. I thank you for the people in this room. Father, their relationship with you. I thank you for choosing them to be here. Father, every Saturday morning when we get together, we pray for our pastors. Our pastors have a difficult job. So, Father, may everyone take to heart this morning how they can support their pastor, how they can help the pastor, how they can execute the First Baptist Narragansett's vision. Father, so many things are coming up. We have Vacation Bible School. We have relationships among Christian evangelical churches. Father, in some ways, the Gideon Ministry provides a sidewalk to connect like churches. And Father, how wonderful it will be when the visions are realized and Rhode Island becomes a Christian state. In your name we pray. Amen. I thank you very much.